go on into Joseph. And it's going to be a two-part series. And so today is part one. And I kind of want to set this up this way. I have always seen this story is about Joseph, but I believe there are two storylines. Today is going to be about one of the storylines. Next week is going to be more about Joseph. And the storyline is about the family of Jacob. And we're going to start off in the very first verse, and we're going to look at who Jacob is. Remember Abraham, we started with him, and then there was Isaac last week, and then Jacob. And Jacob, as we start off in Genesis chapter 37, that we're going to be in, we're going to look at the whole chapter today. And then next week, we're going to take 39 and 40. So those are the two different components. But here's Jacob. It said he lived in the land of his father's sojourning in the land of Canaan. This is talking about Abraham. And these are the generations of Jacob. This is basically saying, let's talk a little bit about Jacob's lineage. And it's an important lineage because it's a lineage that comes all the way down and eventually winds up with Jesus, okay, and the New Testament. But in Genesis chapter 32, I didn't want to leave this out, but in Genesis 32, 28, Jacob became also known as Israel because he had wrestled with God. I don't know about you, but there are times that I wrestle to get an answer, to get clarity, to hear from God. How many of you all ever wrestled with the Lord? Aren't we glad that you didn't get your hip thrown out, okay? Because in this particular case, that was kind of part of the storyline there. But he is known, it's interesting that the lineage here that we're talking about is known not only in Christianity, but not only in Judaism, but also in Islam. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is all part of that. So they're important, it's an important lineage. Here's a chart for those that are chart people, and I hope you can see it. It's a lot of detail. So I circled Abraham, upper left. Then you have Isaac. We've talked about that through Sarah in Abraham. Then there's Jacob. And then if you look down here at the lower right is Joseph. And that's going to kind of be what we're going to be talking about today and next week. But I did put a little around Reuben. We're going to talk about him in just a minute. But here we go. Here's the setup. Jacob had a great family, and he was a follower of God. And when I say a great family, look at the lineage. There are great families in this room. There are great families in many churches and a lot of great people in them. And sometimes we forget that great families with great people can get off track, can let things get in and mess some things up and still be used by God. But do you all agree with that? I mean, you're looking at one right here. I know God has tried to invade my life and mess with me, and yet God has a greater plan. And as I come back around, there's a great thing, right? You all agree with, see what I'm talking about? So listen to this. We're going to start in verse 1, and I want you to put on your glasses. This is about the secondary storyline. It's about Jacob. It's about the family that Joseph was connected to. And next week, we'll talk about Joseph, okay? So it starts in verse 1, and what we're going to see is we're going to see some hatred, some anger, some resentment. And I know nobody in this room has ever dealt with resentment or anger or frustration or... Okay, the people online, I'm glad you're with me here on this. No, but look at this. Again, talk about the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, I don't know if you realize he was just a teenager, was pasturing the flock of his brothers, with his brothers, and he was a boy of the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah and his father's wives, and Joseph brought a bad report to them. Now, real quick, we see that Joseph is a black and white guy. He's about truth. He's what he sees, he communicates. And I don't know about you, for some of us, that irritates us. And don't you rather have those guys that'll just cover up some whatevers? I mean, but actually the Bible says that God blesses those that yes is yes and no is no. But here's what happened. Joseph every now and then says, well, you won't realize what the bros were doing. Hey, my brothers were doing this. And we might call that a tattletale, but in the Bible it actually has some merit. But listen to this, verse 3. Now Israel, remember it was Jacob, who loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because his son was the son of his old age. And he made a robe of many colors. Can I just tell you, if you're a sibling, you have brothers and sisters, and if mom and dad ever showed favoritism, it caused you to get a little frustrated. I heard some of that. Okay, and look what happened. And not only was there some favoritism, it was also, he made this cool coat of many colors. Not everybody had cool colors of many color coat. And so what happened, he gave him that. So it's kind of obvious on the outside, it's obvious in the atmosphere. And it said on verse 4, but when his brothers saw that the father loved him more than all his brothers, they what? They hated him and could not speak peacefully to him. Now, that word's very strong. In our raising kids, we say, well, we never use the word hate. You can strongly dislike. And the boys would go, then I strongly dislike. You know, it's kind of that thing that can happen. See, hate, if you think it's tied, and it is tied to anger, hate's an emotion. And it dwells in that slurry of anger and fear and disgust, because sometimes we can get angry based on a fear thing response. So you've got this thing, but I can tell you what hatred winds up doing is it can lead even to violent acts, behavior you would never think you would do. It can be fueled by distorted thought processes. I don't know about you. There have been times where I have misfiled something, and I was operating on I knew what I knew, and I knew it was true, and I'd perceive this, and I just know it's true until I got it refiled, and I went, uh-oh, especially between Laurie and I. Has anybody had a relationship where you were angry about something that you just misunderstood or misfiled, and then once you got all that cleared up, oh, well, I'm sorry. See how you got to get it in the right filing cabinet. But it's this distorted perception. We can get caught up in cultural things. We can get caught up in a swirl or a spin. We can get caught up in a crowd mentality. And all of a sudden, it's like an all or nothing thinking. You know, we begin to generalize things. And can I tell you, we're in a time where that's happening across our nation and really across the world. How is hate different from anger? See, when you get angry, you say, I've been wronged, and everybody in this room has been wronged somewhere in their life. Hatred begins to build on that and begins to perceive, well, if I've been wronged, then I think others, I'm going to get back at them or vengeance, or how about this? I'm not happy. I don't want you to be happy. Have you ever tried somebody try to change the atmosphere every time you're around them because they're unhappy, and you showed up in the happy state, and before you left, you kind of been brought down a notch or two? Anger, when it's pushed or it can morph, or when you allow it unresolved, all of a sudden we begin to dehumanize, we begin to make a person or a group of people the enemy. In our culture right now, we watch the media, and there are some wrong behavior going on out there. There are some bad people, but sometimes based on a color of a uniform they wear, it could be a doctor in a white coat or a fireman in a red coat or an officer in a blue coat or a military in a camouflage coat, but something happened in our life or in our mind, in our perceiver, and we misfiled something, and maybe there was a wound, but we took it, and if you're not careful, the devil loves to do this. Then they're all that way. Everyone in this room is subject to church hurts, right? You know those people that go to church are supposed to be like Jesus, and all of a sudden you walk away and something has happened. Can I tell you, I've talked to people that will never go back to a church because they got hurt in this church, and all churches are that way. That's not the truth. But they're operating out of that paradigm. Could be a skin color. Could be what country you came from. We've got to be careful. When I saw this message, God really revealed for such a time as this, is we're standing in the middle of a Jacob story, okay? We as individuals. I saw this quote and I thought it was appropriate. Holding on to hate is like letting someone live rent-free in your mind. That's a freeloader occupying space, not contributing anything, not giving you any value or benefit, but it's got space and it's taking it up in you. And so we want to get the freeloaders out of there, right? And that's hate. Now let's just move on. We move on to verse 5 through 11, we'll find envy or jealousy. I'm sure that some of you have had that happen. You know, you look over in the neighbor's yard and you see, why is their grass so green? Looks like a putting green. You know, why is this and why is that and why do they always get the new? I mean, have you ever, and you say it's not jealousy. Nobody in this room would be jealous. Okay, right. Okay, verse 5. I stomped around on my feet first, okay? So Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, hear this dream that I have dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field. Basically, we were out doing what we were doing. We were playing football with one another, whatever your thing is. And behold, my sheaves rose and stood upright, and behold, your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down for itself. I'm sure that tickled the brothers. Well, no, it didn't. We go on to verse 8. It says, and the brothers said to him, are you indeed to reign over us, or are you indeed to rule over us? So they what? Hated him even more. But it's interesting, for his dreams and his words. Can I tell you, we're talking about a 17-year-old teen that is hearing, is part of the plan of God. We don't know that in this current place in the story, but because we know the whole story, God was working all this out for some great lineage preservation and things that were going to happen later. We'll find out next week more about that. But here's a young person hearing and through dreams from the Lord. Can I just say, young people, God is going to speak through you. Older people, sometimes we need to listen. Not always, but sometimes we need to discern, is that from the Lord or not? So it's not only his dreams, but his words. Now, sometimes I think Joseph might have been a little naive, right? Have you ever had somebody that you know is a good dude, but man, they're just reckless with their behavior? You know, they're always bruising people and running around. So as older, we need to love on them and guide them and show them and mentor them. But can I tell you, we should never diminish what they might be saying. I just wanted to throw that in there. Verse 9. Then he dreamed another dream. Here he goes again. Lays down, thinks it's going to be a restful sleep, and God speaks to him again. Right? And he said, so he told his brothers and said, behold, I've had another dream. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars are bowing down to me. I'm sure they had a great one with that. No, verse 10. But when he told it to his father and his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brother indeed come to bow ourselves to the ground before you? And the brothers were jealous of him. Think about this. They hated him, but now they're jealous. Because they could tell something, God was speaking to him and they weren't speaking to them. There was something that he was saying had some kind of truth. They didn't understand it, but here is favor and a coat. And yeah, have you ever found yourself almost being jealous of somebody you hate? Maybe not jealous, but you sure wish you had. I don't know, it's a really mixed, terrible thing to try to swallow down. Now here's the neat thing, Jacob, Israel, says, but his father kept the saying in mind. So it didn't leave him. He knew there's something there. Let's move on. Because that word jealousy is something that many of us don't ever really like to look at. But it is envious. It is covetous. It's the desire. It can even be resentfulness. It can be resenting something. It can be spite or grudge or suspicion. I mean, there's all kinds of things that you can weave into jealousy. This comes right out of Webster's, by the way. Anxiety. And so when we move into verse 12, here's what's going to happen. And notice the top bar says the progression of sin. We've got to keep an eye on the storyline for us today, because so many times somebody can frustrate us. Somebody can bring an irritation to our life. Somebody can be the tattletale because we were just over here in the gray, and here you are getting me in trouble because, you know, of this or that. And we begin to build something. The devil loves to jump in, by the way, on Christians. They'll jump into this kind of this place that you're wrestling and blaming it on a person, and all of a sudden it can turn into this jealousy and this hatred and this envy, and all of a sudden we are about to take an action that we never thought we'd get to, but we allowed it to progress. Verse 12. And now his brothers went to pasture their father's flock near Shechem. And Israel said, this is Jacob, said to Joseph, are not your brothers pasturing the flock in Shechem? Come, I'll send you to them. And he said to them, here I am. Now, I don't understand if I was dad and I already knew the brothers didn't like him, I'm going to send you off. I mean, I don't understand that. Maybe when we get to heaven, we'll ask that question. But God was unfolding a plan. Let's just go with that kind of filing. Verse 14. And so he said to them, go now, see if it is well with your brothers and with the flock, and bring me a word. See, dad was still trusting this 17-year-old, even though he was a frustrating child. Has anybody ever had any frustrating no, parents of your children here? Do not. It's not a good time to say amen. Sometimes there's a message in the frustration that's bigger than them and you. Go and see if they're well. with their flock and bringing me word. So he sent him from the valley of Hebron, and he made it to Shechem. And a man found him wandering in the fields. Now, by the way, Shechem is about 3 days' walk. That's how they traveled. And the man asked, "What are you seeking?" "I'm seeking my brothers," he said. "Tell me, please, where are they pasturing the flock?" Verse 17. And the man said, "They have gone away, for I've heard them say, let's go to Dothan." And so Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. So here's the picture. I've just been doing this lately. I hope you're liking it. So here's Hebron, 3 days, Bethel, Shechem. He's up in Shechem 3 days later. Then he went even further. See the little picture? That's why you need to pull up a little slide so you can look and blow them up and say, "Pastor, I can't read it right now." So anyway, they saw him from afar. Now remember the progression. I don't know why they were getting that far away. There was good fields up close, but they'd moved that far away, and they saw Joseph from afar, and before he came near to them, they conspired against him to kill them. Now, everyone in here has had to wrestle with this why in the road. To conspire means to think something through about either doing something, responding poorly, doing something to redirect. You know, it's a pre to action, right? But they begin to conspire. Now, hopefully none of you have followed on about killing somebody. So, okay. But here's what they did. They began to conspire. Verse 19, they said, "Here comes that dreamer. Here comes that successful person. Here comes that favorite little diva," right? That Christian diva. Is that how they look? I don't know. "Come now. Let's kill him. Let's throw him into one of those pits. Then we'll say a fierce animal has devoured him, and we'll see what will become of his dreams." Ha 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 ha! I mean, sure, they're just having a grand old time. Let's get this thing that's overshadowing us. You know, it's interesting when somebody is walking with the Lord, is innocent with the Lord, is receiving from the Lord. We can start feeling a little left out, a little neglected if we're not careful. Well, I used to be in the limelight. Now, they're. Lord's speaking. Be careful. That's the message to the church through this scripture today. Be careful. The devil wants an end. Look at this. And so, when Reuben, remember I put that little green box, he heard of all this. He rescued him out of their hands by saying, "Let's not take his life." And Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood. No, throw him into a pit." Now, we're talking about a pit that's 10 kilometers, or not kilometers, 30 feet. It's about 30 feet, right? And he said, "Look, do not lay a hand on him that he might rescue him." This is the dash means he was thinking, "I'll rescue him later. I don't want him to be killed. I've gotten caught in this crowd, the mentality, and it's just escalated beyond where I wanted it to be. I need to try to redeem myself and redeem this situation." Can I tell you, all of us have found ourselves with a bunch of guys or a bunch of girls or a couple, and we're in this group, and it started off innocent enough, but before you know it, everybody gets gathered up about something, or maybe they began to go out for dinner, and then, "Well, let's go have some drinks," and then you wound up in those places you're not supposed to wind up. And can I tell you, you can stop it before it gets going any further. Don't get caught up. "Well, I didn't want to embarrass myself. I didn't want them to think ill." Can I tell you, when sin is beginning to tractor beam you, it's worth saying, "I feel like I'm going to throw up in your back seat. Please drop me off at the hotel." Oh, brother, whoop, you just diverted something the Lord will use later. I didn't use that in the first service, sorry. Throw up is not a good, anyway. Let me go to the next slide, verse 23. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the robe of many colors they wore, and they took him and threw him into the pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And then they sat down to eat. If you're finding yourself not bothered by the tension, not bothered by the resentment in you, not bothered by the bitterness, then you really need to be careful. And he sat down, and then all of a sudden they looked up and saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead, and their camels were, had the gum and the balm and the myrrh, and that just means it was a trade route, and they were headed down to Egypt. And then verse 26, then Judah said to his brothers, "What if what profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood?" He said, "Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites and let him be handed, no hand be upon him from us, for he is our brother in our own flesh." And they listened to him. And the Midianites traders passed by, and they drew Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. It's so interesting that we find in a New Testament story where there's 30 pieces of silver, also paid for somebody's life. That can be another story. But then they took him to Egypt. Back then, they did have Polaroids. They don't have digital photography, but there was a Polaroid I found. This is Joseph being pulled out of the well. He's kind of thin for 17, but hey, you know, they didn't. Anyway. And what happened is they did. This caravan took him from Dothan, took the trade route all the way to Egypt. And that story we'll pick up tomorrow, or excuse me, next Sunday. But what happens with any sin when it is allowed to progress and proceed is then there's deception. Can I just tell you that if we've ever found ourselves in a gray area of life making gray decisions and maybe nobody knows, eventually we'll begin to cover up. Eventually we will begin to not say what all the truth is. And so we pick it up in verse 29 when Reuben returned to see that Joseph wasn't in the pit. He had a plan to rescue him. He's gone. And he tore his clothes. He realized I'm in a place that I shouldn't have allowed to get this far. And now, and he rent his clothing. And can I tell you that when God is about to do so, before God can really move in and save you and to move, and you have to have a part of renting yourself before the Lord. A place that you make a decision. And he returned to his brothers and said, "The boy's gone, and where shall I go?" Verse 31 says, "Then they took Joseph's robe, slaughtered a goat, dipped it in the blood, robe in the blood, and they sent the robe of many colors and brought it to his father and said, 'This is what we found. Please identify whether this is your son's robe or not.'" Deception, deception, deception. Jacob defined it, said, "It's my son's robe." A fierce animal has devoured him. Joseph is without a doubt torn to pieces. Then Jacob did what? Tore his robe. Can I tell you, every time that we think this little sin way back here, what I think about somebody or a group of somebodies or whatever, and you allow it to develop, you allow it, and all of a sudden it takes action. Can I tell you, it will hurt the people you love most. It will hurt people you never intended. I hear people that will say, "Oh, Pastor, well, it's just a little sin. You know, I was just window shopping. I didn't buy anything." Can I tell you, that's a precursor to, if you're not careful, to a progression of sin. It says in verse 35, "Oh, no, now we've hurt Mom. We hurt Dad. We hurt our best friend." I'm applying this. "As all of his sons and all of his daughters rose to comfort him." Here is somebody that they never intended to hurt. He's hurt because of their deception, because of their sin, because of their trouble, their hearts being wrong. And yet here they try to console him. Can I tell you, it'll hurt people. We need to get it resolved and stop before it goes too far. And the father wept for him, it says. And meanwhile, the Midianites had sold him to Egypt, to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain. Set up next week. Here's what I want you to reveal, and what I believe God, when I was praying over this, he's saying for the church, that it's a heart issue. God is looking at the church right now in such a time as this, and he's saying, look, don't, when I asked him about this passage, he said, don't miss the message to the church today. That we can come from a great house, we can have a great name, we can be a part of God's plan, but we can accidentally, our heart can be slowly being led astray, and we can allow hatred to move in and envy, and we can all of a sudden move into actions that don't bring me glory. And I need the church to wake up. I need the church to see this story and to be aware that if we're not aware, that the devil will move in. So here we go. It's a mind. It's a heart. How many of you all remember when the mall used to be open? Okay, well, I guess it's still open now. But, you know, when we had boys, we had three boys and a daughter, and we go to the mall here at Quail Springs. And there's this store. There's this store we'd walk by, and they had those women frilly things, you know, like, what was it called? See, some of you know what I'm talking about. And they have these photos in the window of bigger than life, women bigger than real women life, but they're dressed in what. So anyway, you can get the picture with three young men. And so we'd get going down the hall, you know, we're doing, and they go, "Dad, whoo," right? I said, "Count the tile, count the tile, count the tile." And if they were to look the other direction, it was a pretzel place. So count the tile or eat carbs, count the tile or eat. And so we, to cope with that, So you can have a thought come in, and as long as you don't let it camp in your heart. But if somebody does do something wrong, because humans make mistakes. How many here made a mistake before? How many think the person sitting next to you has made more? No. Sorry. Some of you like, anyway. But see, the mind is this beginning point, and we can start there. But let's say it gets a little too far. You know what begins to happen is our heart gets to change. See on the far left side, the little blue letters, mind, heart. But this frustration, jealousy, hatred, envy, then moves into plotting, action, deception, and pain. Some of you might say, well, Pastor, I've never taken action to anybody like that. I have thought they deserved a pit, but I haven't thrown anybody in there recently. Can I tell you that I've watched social media, and some of you have taken action with your keyboard? Not in this room, maybe, but the church. There are sometimes I wonder what God thinks about all our interactions. Guess what? He can see private and open groups. He can see your heart. So we've got to be careful, because we'll begin to plot. We'll begin to take action, you know, all elegantly slapping them around or something. And deception moves in, and we're deceived as much as anybody. And pain is brought on. But can I tell you, there's a man that's a turnaround man. He's a turnaround God. He's both. His name's Jesus. The turnaround point for any of this is coming back to God. It's being coming back to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's coming back to what he did on the cross 2,000 plus years ago. And you know where it starts? He's already done the work. It starts with us acknowledging that we've got some stuff going on, like Jacob or his brothers. And anywhere along the way, if they'd come back to the Lord, they'd have changed some things. It's believing that what Christ did and what the Holy Spirit can do today is real, and you can trust it. How many know you can trust what Christ did at the cross? How many know that the God that's is the same yesterday as he is today as tomorrow, that same God is available to you through the Holy Spirit, revealed through Scripture, but that Holy Spirit's with you today, whatever your situation is. Everybody agree with that? Okay. So you have an acknowledgement of, I've got something, I've got a thorn in my side. It's that sister or that brother or that, you know what I mean? That thing. And you believe that God can do it. So here's where you do. You say, God, I'm going to confess this part of my life that isn't you. I've allowed it to go too far, and I bring a confession to you. It's called sin, by the way. And you come to him through the throne of grace, the throne of mercy, and you say, Lord, I want to give this away. I want to not be bound by it anymore. I don't want this freeloader in my mind, in my heart any longer. And I confess it to you, Lord, to a God that can take care of it. And from that, and this is the biggie, because some people come to the altar a lot and they talk about their sin and then they take it with them as they leave. How many of, I don't want a show of hands, I've done it. In my journey, I've come, Lord, I'm just being a real tool. I had other words. Please forgive me. He says, I have. Oh, please help me, Lord. I will. And then I leave with it, thinking I need to work it out on my own. He says, no, you're supposed to leave it. Hey. So you confess it, and then you say, God, it's now yours in the name of Jesus, by the blood of the Lamb, it's now yours. And do you know what he does in that transaction when it's a real confession, a real release to him? He begins to flood you with healing wherever those thorns are, whatever had been wounded in you, whatever caused your paradigm to get shifted, that all of them or all those or whatever color they wear, you know, I'm going to bring healing to that. I'm going to bring from that freedom, and I'm going to start flooding you with joy and abundant life. And I don't know of anybody in here that doesn't want that. So if everybody will stand with me, I want to close with this. Some questions. Here's a truth, and may I just tell you that God is a God that forgives. God is a God that will set you free today. God wants to invade the places where you think there is no way would I ever change my mind about them. Watch and see. He wants to touch every heart. He wants to free every soul that's trapped or bound. What's being reconciled, when you think of the counting word, is here's a row of truth, and here does it reconcile the reality. Here's truth, here's reality. How does it reconcile? And you bring it into balance. So the first question, who continues to frustrate you? It just seems like every time I'm around them, the hair on the back of my neck goes up. Or every time I'm around them, I just like hear this, me, 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 me. Like, there's Miss Diva again. Or it's your parents, or it's your, I don't know who it is. Who can you, because can I tell you, that could be an indication there's something in you that needs to take it to the Lord and let him touch it. You're to be the hands, the feet, the light into this dark world. You. Point to your neighbor and say, that includes you too. Because really, we think that we're to just kind of get Sundays to get us tuned up to handle Monday. No, Sunday's about reminding us of who we are, that we're Christ's sons and daughters, and that we carry the light. And I can tell you, the devil, all he's trying to do is hide the light and deceive you more than anything else. Destroy your witness. So who frustrates you? It could be a sign that you need to say, Lord, help me. How about who might you be jealous of or envious of? Who have you formed a negative attitude towards? Is that really how God wants you to finish your life, is keeping that list over here, you know, those people? Or does he want to set you free? And then for some, who have you taken action against? Social media, ignoring them, planning to avoid them. You see them in Walmart and you say, we're going down the other aisle. I've watched it. You probably are watching me do it. No. But this message came to me first to talk about my own life. Do I have things that I need to say, Lord, I'm yours? He goes, great, I want you to be mine right over there where you don't want to go. See, if there's anything of that in you right now, I want you to think about it. So I'd like you to bow your heads. I'd like you to close your eyes. Here, I'd like you to think these things and say, Lord, and I don't want you to move or anything necessarily physically, but in your heart, in your mind, say, Lord, I've heard this today. Holy Spirit, reveal in me anything today that I need to bring to you, anything that you see that I need an adjustment on, anything, Lord, that would change my heart for them to be like yours. Lord, you know all my backstory, Lord. And it's not even, I can't imagine, it's going to have to be supernatural. Lord, so you know that, but I am coming to you to say, if that's what you want, I'm willing. And I want you to think about that today. What are those things? People that frustrate you, people, you know, what are those things? And I want you to, right now, imagine that as like you put it in a bowl or a little cup. And that you're taking your hands, you don't have to do it physically, but you're taking your hands, and whatever that thing is, whatever those things God has put on your heart in the Spirit saying these things, I want you to just extend out like you were in the heavenlies, and you're at the throne of grace, the throne of mercy, and there's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords sitting there, and you're approaching his throne, and it's glorious, and you're bringing him this thing, and you're going to say, I'm going to lay it before you, and I'm going to release it, Lord, and I'm going to raise up and be raised up. I'm going to receive your healing today in the name of Jesus. I want you to think that and imagine that in your heart right now. And I want you to lift it to him right now, knowing he knows, but believing, and confess to him, I need you here. Can I tell you, he wants to flood in, rush in. He wants to bring healing to you. He wants to bring freedom to you today. But you have to take the step of confession and then release it. It starts with Jesus all the way through what he did at Calvary. And for some of you, you need to start with saying, I need Jesus. And for those that know Jesus, it's now saying, but Jesus, I need you. Holy Spirit, I need you. God, I need you in these places. So Father God, this congregation, this church, these beautiful people, Lord, have come before you. You have let your word go forth. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you minister to each one exactly where they're at. Father, that you'd bring a transforming presence across our hearts and minds today, that as we as a people who are called by your name, Father, would receive what you offer today through the blood of the Lamb, Lord, but through the name of Jesus, that today there would be people leave here with more of you. And more of a heart like you. Help us be the church that brings transformation to the streets of Guthrie and Edmond and Arcadia and Central Oklahoma and Cole and Cash and wherever we go, Lord. May your presence be strong in us now today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, church, we're about to take the streets. You're about to go places. And God's going before you. Amen. God bless. Be the church. We're dismissed.